Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11, Text 12, Translation and Commentary by the Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In modern society, the common motto is, do your own thing. They say that, and there's a saying like that in Spanish. Or, be yourself. Don't listen to what others say. Don't care what others think. Not surprisingly, this leads to a very an ethos of great irresponsibility and selfishness. Egoism, selfishness. Oh, that's interesting. There's a difference in English between selfishness and egoism, but it's interesting how in Spanish it's the same word, because selfishness and egoism, they're very closely related. Huh? I didn't even think of that before. In Sanskritam, it's aham mama bhav, or thinking in terms of I, me, and mine. That's selfishness, and egoism is ahankar, very common word. Ahankaram balam, what is that? Ahankaram balam darpam kod kamam krodham sasangshita. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita the qualities of the demons, beginning with this egoismo, ahankar. So in traditional societies, and especially in Vedic culture, it was a completely different ethos. That man is not an island. That everyone does, they have to consider not only from the sake of their own imagined personal interests, but they have to consider how their action will affect all others also. Everyone is responsible to everyone else. Now here, Dhruv Maharaj is being corrected by Swayam Bhuvamana, who is his superior, but still he's correcting him in a very respectful manner. He's pointing out that you, Dhruva, you are a great personality, so why are you acting not like a not great personality? That what you do, your actions will be seen and copied by others. Especially because you are a great personality, if you do something wrong, then the effect is worse. If a known criminal commits crimes, then you say, well, what do you expect? He's a criminal. He's a useless person. Worse than useless. Antisocial. But if a person who is respected in society for his good behavior acts in a manner contrary to his reputation, others may say that bit first, and then I'll come. That will have a very bad effect in society, because if great persons continue to act in a great way, then others who are less great than them will have inspiration to try to rise up to that platform. But if great personalities act below the proper standard, then others will lose hope of ever coming to such a standard. In this material world, especially in Kali Yuga, the tendency is for everyone to degrade. And saintly persons, they try to pull people up out of this trend. And persons who are pious, they may be inclined to follow them. They get hope that, yes, we can come to a better standard. But then again, if those in whom such hope is placed act in an abominable manner, then others will lose all hope of ever coming to a better standard. They will think, well, you know, I'm just a small person, and then if others who are so great, they also can't live on such a high standard, then what hope is there for me? They will lose all faith in the prospect of coming to a better standard of life. And they will cite the fallen behavior of persons who are considered great as a justification for their own fall down. And this we are practically seeing. That we can preach to devotees that you should follow. This is stated in Shastra. We should follow this. I'm having this experience at the present time. I'm preaching to a devotee that you should not divorce. This is against Shastra and it's very inauspicious in human society. But he's citing so many examples. You see, this one did this and that one did that. So what difference does it make if I also do? So if everyone just thinks, well, the lowest or the substandard is acceptable, then there's no hope of elevation. If everyone thinks that substandard behavior is acceptable, then there's no hope of elevation to a higher standard. The whole ideal becomes lost. And then we think, then we introduce these kind of sahajya ideas. It doesn't really matter what you do, it's just what's in your heart. But what is in our heart should be reflected in what we do. If our heart is wicked, then our behavior will also be wicked. It's not that one can have a good-hearted murderer. There's no such thing. He's a very nice person. He has the bad habit of sometimes cutting people's throat. But otherwise, he's a very nice person. And that's actually the situation in modern society, that we find many people, they're very nicely behaved. But then you see, what are they eating at lunchtime? Not very nice. Not very merciful. What their diets. What is proper behavior and what is not proper behavior? It may appear that what may appear through ordinary judgment to be improper behavior may actually be proper behavior, and vice versa. For instance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't divorce, but he left his family, but for the sake of the higher cause of spreading Krishna consciousness. So some people, they criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of improper antisocial behavior and setting a bad example. And actually, if someone does follow his example, but not for the sake of, not primarily for the sake of preaching Krishna consciousness, but just because they're too irresponsible to look after their family, then that is a misuse of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example. So how to behave? What is proper behavior and what isn't? This we should understand. Because if we don't understand, then if we don't know this, then we act just by that fact alone, ipso facto, we become demons. If we don't know what is proper behavior and what isn't, then ipso facto, you say that in Spanish?
Ipso facto.
Yeah, then ipso facto, yes, we become demons.
Oh, no.
Then by that fact alone, we become demons. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita. What is that he says about this? Those who do not know what is proper behavior and what is proper behavior and improper behavior, they are demons. Who knows? Two lines. Pravritim. Navidur. Jana Navidur Asuraha. What is prescribed behavior and proscribed behavior, the demons do not know. So how can we know what is proper behavior and what isn't? Prescribed and proscribed. That doesn't come in Spanish. Eh? It's not just appropriate and inappropriate. It's ordained and forbidden. So that also Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita in the same chapter. Anyone? Got your Veda base open there? Next verse after that. Yes, yashastra vidhi mutsrija vatate kama karatasa nasa siddham avapnati nasukam na parangatim tasmat. This verse you have quoted, that those who whimsically reject the rules of Shastra and act according to their own whims, they can attain neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. All right. Those who langan, what is the word? They jump over? What's the word? Transgress. Those who transgress the rules of Shastra and act according to their own whims, they can attain neither perfection, nor happiness, nor the supreme destination. Therefore, Krishna says, tasmat. Next verse. Tasmat shastra vidhanoktam. Karya karyam vyavastito. Gyatva shastra vidhanoktam. Karyam kartam iharhasi. That, therefore, knowing what is proper behavior and improper behavior according to shastra, one should act in this world. So one should be guided by shastra and by acharya, guru, sadhu, shastra, all three together. Just like in this instance, we see that Dhruva Maharaj, his going to fight the yakshas is not against his dharma, raja dharma. He has It's not contrary to that. Yeah, you're thinking it must be, because otherwise, why is Swayambhuva Manu chastising him? So now you're surprised and thought, I must have got it wrong, or maybe you heard it differently, to say that he's not transgressing Raja Dharma by coming out and fighting. So who's right, Swayambhuva Manu or me? Should be Swayambhuva Manu, right? He's a Mahajan, I'm not a Mahajan. So why am I saying, in one moment I'm saying we should follow Guru Sadhu Shastra, and the next moment I'm saying something apparently contradictory to that. But actually he was justified to go out and fight, but then the extent to which he did so was not approved by Swayambhuva Manu. Those who had done the wrong act of killing his brother, they deserve to be punished, but not the whole yaksha race. So this is an example of how we need to be guided by Guru also. Because his going out to fight was actually acceptable in this circumstance, acceptable by Shastra, according to Shastra Vidhi. But then his doing so excessively, that was not. And then who's to say what the limit is exactly? Then Manu came and said, okay, now stop. So everything has to be understood through Shastra, and through those who are Shastravit, those who know Shastra, and those who are Tattvavit, which means they know what is the principle of Shastra. Tattvavit may mean that they simply have some philosophical understanding, but here I'm using in the sense of one who has actually inner understanding. That means one who's actually in touch with Krishna, who can understand actually what is Krishna's desire. He can properly explain how to apply the tenets of Shastra in any given circumstance. Just an example that's appropriate to our present situation on this tiny planet at this blip in time called the 21st century. That's appropriate to to give an example appropriate to us here now, on this tiny little planet, in this blip of time, moment of time, called the 21st century. Shastra, that is applicable to all times, all places, and all circumstances. But because circumstances are unlimitedly variegated, it requires acharyas to explain how to apply them in any given circumstance. So, Srila Prabhupada wanted his books distributed very widely. That is a very important principle of the Sankirtan movement at the present time. And philosophically, there's nothing wrong in distributing the books and taking people's donations by any means. However, the practical effect of applying this understanding without any mature understanding is that the purpose of distributing the books, which is to bring people to Krishna consciousness, is thwarted. However, the
last I'll speak words, in, the last
word. Thwarted, what's another word for thwarted?
Diminished.
It doesn't take place. It's stopped. And if we distribute, we may distribute many books in a short time by using any kind of indiscriminate tactics, but then in the longer term, we're not able to distribute so many books because people don't want anything to do with our books if they feel that we have insulted and cheated them. So how to apply in our lives, how to live according to Shastra, requires first of all that we should know what is in Shastra. And great faith in the principle of following Shastra. Understanding that Shastra is the... Shastra gives the directions from God how to live in this world so that we may approach Him and please Him. Now this is the difference between a smarta, or one who simply follows the rules, and a Vaishnav, who also follows, they both follow the rules of Shastra. Because a smarta follows the rules of Shastra, but he doesn't know that the purpose, or he denies that the purpose is to please Vishnu. But a Vaishnav knows the purpose of Shastra, of Shastra Vidhi, which is to please Krishna. And therefore he knows how to apply this, the teachings of Shastra in practical life. When Prabhupada first brought his American disciples back to India, many people, actually everyone was shocked to hear Americans chanting Hare Krishna. And many people were very pleased. And some people were not pleased, because they thought that these lechers, they're not qualified to chant Hare Krishna. Now both those who were pleased and those who were shocked were shocked in many cases by the often unusual behavior of some of Prabhupada's Western disciples. Because they were chanting Hare Krishna, which is the activities of sadhus, or saintly people. And they were dressed as sadhus, but they were coming from different cultural background than those of traditional sadhus. And because the culture that one has been brought up in is often very difficult to change quickly, the American devotees often acted in ways more appropriate for Americans than for sadhus. And many Indian people, they thought, what kind of sadhus are these? And they thought that actually these Americans, they can't really become sadhus. One time, a life member in India complained to Srila Prabhupada that, I just saw two of your disciples physically fighting. And Prabhupada said, you're surprised that they're fighting? I'm surprised that they're chanting Hare Krishna. Now it might be opined that what's the use of teaching, of getting people to chant Hare Krishna if they're still fighting, they have these bad habits. It might be opined that first of all you should teach them to live as gentlemen, then you teach them to chant Hare Krishna. But Prabhupada knows the mission, he knows what is the desire of Krishna. And he knows what is the essence of Shastra. He had faith that by chanting Hare Krishna, these persons will become reformed and purified if they stick to the process. So Prabhupada, he defended his disciples, even though sometimes their behavior was not appropriate, but he defended that, look, these people are chanting Hare Krishna. They are saintly persons. And that's actually stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Api chait sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadhureva samantavya swayam. What's the last line? Samyak vyavasito hi saha. That even if someone is very badly behaved, if he has the commitment and the faith to serve me, Krishna says, then he should be accepted as a sadhu, not as a sinner. Therefore, Krishna continues, kshiprang bhavati dharmatma, that he will very quickly become actually fixed in dharma if he sticks to the principle of serving me. Kshiprang bhavati dharmatma shashvat chantim nigacchati, and he will attain the, he will come to the peaceful position. And kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Krishna says that, declare it, Arjuna, my devotee is never spoiled, he never perishes. Krishna, in other words, Krishna is going to protect such a devotee, even if the whole world is against him. The occasional bad behavior of a devotee is not the cause of his fall down, if he's serious to practice Krishna consciousness. So the position of a devotee is always glorious. However, especially those who devotees who are in the positions of leadership, they have to be very careful about their behavior, because their misbehavior will have a bad effect on the whole of society, because others will take it as They'll take it as an excuse for themselves to act wrongly. Apani achare Prabhu jibere shikai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught through practice rather than precept. Both, but practice more than precept. He was so strict in following sannyasa dharma. He didn't even want to. He didn't want to sleep on any comfortable bed or any such thing, because he was thinking that if I do so, then others will take it as an excuse to flout the laws of Shastra. So actually, if devotees do come up to the ideal standard of behavior, then persons who are pious and idealistic, they will note that and want to emulate that. You lost it?
I lost it.
Yeah, okay. If devotees do behave according to the ideal standard, then persons who are of pious disposition, they will notice that. Please don't put your feet on your bead bank. Anyway, not even near your feet, please. It has a string, you can hang it around your neck. It's meant for that.
Yeah.
So those who are senior, they have to train those who are junior in all these little things. It's more difficult when you're already grown up. But children, they should be trained all these things. Trained in all these things. All your parents, they are gurus, have the duty to deliver their children from birth and death. Gurur nasasyat, swajana nasasyat, pitas nasasyat, janani nasasyat, daivang nasasyan. What is the next one? Daivang natatsyan, last one. Namochi adhyasam upittimaitam. That one should not become a guru or a relative, father or mother. Should not accept respect from others. Daivang natatsyan na patischa sasyat. Namochi or he should not become the husband of one unless he can deliver them from birth and death. So, taking to this devotional life, it's a great responsibility. Swayambhu Manu was reminding Dhruva Maharaj that how you're behaving, consider, you have a great responsibility. That Raja Nashta Praja Nashta, if the king is spoiled, then the whole population is spoiled. So, everyone is superior to someone else, at least when they grow up. Every human being is supposed to be responsible. To take responsibility for others, at least to take responsibility for a family. But even in family life, one is not responsible only for one's family, but one is also responsible for his neighbors. It's not like in the modern age, one person is living and they think the next family living next door, what they do, that's not my responsibility, there's no concern of mine. But in Vaishnav society, every Vaishnav is responsible for everyone else, especially those that we're living with or in close contact with. So everyone is responsible. Sannyasi may think, well, he gives up all responsibility. But no, he accepts more responsibility. Vasudhaiva kutumbakam, then he accepts the responsibility for seeing the whole world as his family. It's his duty to act in such a way that the whole society is uplifted. So this proper Vaishnav behavior, that is the requirement of every Vaishnav. We should understand this by studying Shastra regularly and understanding what are the messages given therein, what are the practical messages, what are the messages for applying in our practical life. And we should also study the lives of ideal persons, both past and present, to learn from their practical behavior how to live in this world in an ideal manner. Srila Prabhupada said that even if not considering that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually Bhagavan, Prabhupada said about that if we simply study his life and the behavior of his devotees, we can understand how to live as Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. Any questions about this? And many things to be learned. For instance, the beads should not be put on the floor or anywhere near the floor or on the feet or anywhere near the feet. All these things. So many points. How to live as an ideal human being and Vaishnava.
In what way are we responsible for our neighbor's behavior?
Well, not in what way, in many ways. Not singular, plural. In all ways. Of course, one cannot force anyone to behave according to our desire or our edict, even if it's according to Shastra. But in traditional communities in the village, if someone is misbehaving, then it's the duty of the others to either an elder will speak to him or a group of elders will come together and speak and say, look, this is wrong. One devotee was telling me, this is an example from a wood-cutting village in Switzerland, which are not, you know, high-class Vaishnavas. So in the evening, the woodcutters often used to drink together in the bar, which is also not the behavior of Vaishnavas. But it became known to them that one of their group was regularly and rather viciously beating his wife. So one day they said to him, "Come, let's go in the woods together." And they gave him a good beating, and they said, "Don't beat your wife anymore." And that was it. They didn't say anything else. The matter was finished, unless bad news came again. So that may not be exactly the modus operandi of Vaishnavas, but the point is that everyone is responsible for everyone else, and if there is some serious problem, then it's the duty of everyone else to get together and see what is to be done to rectify that. Yes. Exactly how this is to be applied in each situation, that can't be discussed here, because we can discuss principles but not details. But actually, to consider this is extremely important in this kind of community. How can discipline be maintained? What are the limits? What are the parameters? So we have to see all these things. Probably the best way is that first of all, one senior member, if there's some problem which needs addressing, it's probably better that one person speaks to him first and say, "Look, you know, it's being noticed. You better do something." But then if that doesn't work, then the whole group has to consider. In traditional Brahmin society, the ultimate penalty is bahishka, to throw them out of the village, and you're no longer a Brahmin, you're finished. Be a chandal. If one seriously flouts the principles of Brahminical behavior, then he's no longer accepted, he's not suitable to live in Brahmin society. So that's the ultimato. But there are gradations in between that. But it is essential that that ideal Vaishnava standards be upheld. Otherwise, what's the use of these communities, actually? Of course, there may be different areas for Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. In a Vedic, you know, you did Vedic town planning. The behavior of the different varnas, in most ways, it's not that much. It's not like fallen from that of the standard Brahmins. All are expected to have ideal behavior. It's just that the Brahmins, their behavior is superlative. But we find in Bhishma Dev's instructions for all civilized human beings, basic things that no stealing, no lying, no debauchery, and so on. No debauchery? You said that? Debauchery, licentiousness, sexual looseness, promiscuity, sexual promiscuity. Actually, the word promiscuity doesn't necessarily mean sexual, but it's come to mean like that in our generation because there was so much of it. Promiscuity just means like open behavior. Just like lack of reserve. But it's come to mean licentiousness. See how the language changes. So this is expected of all human beings. It means sexual open sexual behavior, uncivilized things like dressing in a manner to that's meant to promote sexuality, or attempting to, or actually engaging in sexual relationships outside of marriage, and so on. I'm sure you've seen plenty of it. It's very prominent in modern society, but it's not actually part of civilized society. So that certainly should not be in Vaishnava society. Vaishnava society is supposed to be very noble, high class, like this, which is meant for elevation to Krishna consciousness, or the highest consciousness. So highest consciousness and highest behavior, the two things must go side by side, hand in hand. Some allowance or liberality has to be given because we come from very degraded backgrounds. But that liberality should not be translated into an stretchable license for all kinds of behavior. Something like that, yeah, okay. Sorry for not speaking in very simple English. Everyone has to rush off.
You have talked about Brahminical principles, or Vaishnava principles, and I have some curiosity to know about dealing with witches, and to ask for desires to subtle living entities. I have some curiosity to know if this is contradictory to the standard Brahminical standards.
Well, Vaishnavas, they don't deal much with, they don't have interaction with such persons, or either on the gross or subtle platform. By chanting the holy names of Krishna, automatically all such bad influences go away. And if one is fixed in Brahminical behavior also, he won't be influenced by these evil, subtle beings. They come when people are unclean in their external behavior or unclean in their minds. So those who are fixed in Brahminical behavior, they cannot be affected by these lower beings. So all this kind of thing, tantrism, and that's not for Brahmins, that's for lower class, very low class people. Sometimes devotees, on several occasions, devotees have taken over buildings which are full of ghosts. What about this building? I can imagine when the devotees first came, there must have been so many ghosts here. Was it?
I heard that there are some.
I can imagine, because it's an old building and, you know, sinful people were living here. That Bhaktivedanta Manor that was previous to George Harrison's purchasing it, it was a hospice, so many people died there. So there were so many ghosts there.
Y había muchos fantasmas.
I don't think, no.
Pero ahora creo que no.
No. Even when I was there, and I joined in 75, still there were. There's still a few hanging around, but they can't stay long if there's chanting of the holy names, burning of incense, chanting of mantras, worship of the deities, all these things. Blowing the conch, this also, they don't like that at all. So really devotees, mostly they don't have to worry too much about all these things. If you think about them, they'll come. If you talk about them, they'll come faster, especially after dark. So better talk about Krishna. Then Krishna will come.
So, what is Krishna's desire? You've been talking about that Prabhupada knew the desire of Krishna.
Uh-huh.
So, what is his desire?
Everything Prabhupada told us that is to do, that is Krishna's desire for us. He told us. But exactly in any given situation, how to act in accordance with Krishna's desire, that may be difficult to ascertain sometimes. In general, it's easy to understand, but sometimes there may be some dilemma. So then we should take advice from devotees who we trust are fixed in Krishna consciousness. Or sometimes in an emergency situation we may not have time to discuss, then we just have to pray to Guru and Krishna for guidance. What is the best thing to do? What does Krishna want me to do in this particular circumstance? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Shall we have satsang like this again this evening? I was saying we could sing a few bhajans like that. We have a skilled mridanga player here.
Yes.
Small mridanga.
Very good.
Do you play egtal also?
Stop.
1, 2, 1, 2. You play like that? You play? Okay, good. because many of the kirtans are ektal. Okay, as I said yesterday, I'm writing books. And I know most native Spanish speakers aren't much good in English, and I heard some of my books are translated in Spanish in South America, but I only have English copies here. I know that most native Spanish speakers are not competent in English, just like most English speakers outside USA are not competent in Spanish. Recently I met Jayapataka Maharaj in Lithuania. He had just flown from Argentina, which is quite a long way.
Lithuania,
yeah. He'd just flown the night before. Took 2 hours rest and went on with the program. Anyway, what I meant to say is that he told me that he'd seen one of this Brahmachari book in Spanish in Argentina. I didn't know. But anyway, I only have English editions here. So you don't need to translate this, because if they don't understand, then they're not going to understand the books anyway. So if anyone would like to take, you please come and see. This is my main service to Srila Prabhupada, writing these books. So, and devotees are telling me they're getting inspiration and guidance from reading them. So if anyone would like to take, please do. Hare Krishna. That's it for now. You should put Maha Mantra in there, it'd be better. You can program it to have different... There's different phones. Not all of them, maybe. Nowadays, all of them, pretty much.
Mostly nowadays, you can...
You can put your own sound in there. So, Hare Krishna, don't all rush at once. All right, Hare Krishna. That's it, finished. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bhakti Krishna.